I gotta say, this is a great Saturday to kick off our Saturday morning dates, our date mornings, something we'd invite you guys to. Just once out of the week, just a quick glimpse. We do our date mornings in the mornings before we actually jump on here with you guys. And so we do about an hour, 3.5 miles typically, just up and early, usually around like 6:30 in the morning, literally just coffee in hand, shoes on, walking, maybe a light sweater. And we just walk and we talk.
Yep.
No phones, no electronics, just a way for us to reset and what we call our microtherapy. And I will say that this Saturday morning was especially helpful for me for a number of reasons. Number one is I actually chose to get a lot of sleep last night. Go figure. Because I've been working myself to the bone, 2 o'clock in the morning staying and then waking up at 5:30 again, pushing with the hustle. But I knew that I needed to reset to feel right and on point, especially coming into Saturday.
Yeah.
And then also after our date morning, our 3.5 mile walk, coming in and being outside with the fan, the air, the cicadas, being outside.
Yeah, we're in our yard right now.
But it was being outside, and every Saturday now we have, which is, you know, chakra sunrise, but we miss the sunrise, but it's more of a session for the mornings with Michi DeLucian. And it's been great, especially today. And I know I'm kicking this off a bit early here, but I've been like breathing deep too, because my mind is just, it's cleansing, it's clearing. Today for me, it was all about confidence, confident in who I am, confident in my time, in me being okay with taking things slow, and just the confidence of the courage to be disliked. So a lot of that is just going through my brain as I was doing this chakra session. And I feel a lot lighter.
Oh. That's great. So this is our Saturday morning dates. If you ever have questions, we're opening up our like personal life, personal subjects, business, marriage, kids, to you guys. And today for me, like chakra session, because we do a little bit and she asks us, where do you feel heavy? Like, and I'd love to ask you that question to you guys, like everyone who's out there watching, like if you just stop and think for a moment, like, where do you feel heavy? Your chest, right? Your stomach, your mind, is it your shoulders? And every Saturday, it's something different. I noticed that. And like, so this Saturday, my mind felt heavy, not like overloaded. It just felt heavy because there's so much coming at me right now. And I'm also a glutton for punishment. So, but there's so much. And I know, like, I wanted some more clarity. Like I knew what I need to do. And I'm like, that session just like you feel like it's not heavy anymore. You're just like, I'm ready to go. I got that clarity I needed. And we only do it every Saturday morning. I mean, in reality, if you did it every day, you'd have even more clarity. Probably we should probably do it more, but it was great. It's a great way to start your Saturdays. Even if you just do it one time a week, and it doesn't have to be chakra, anything to kind of ground you back to the universe, right? Ground you, slow you down, ground you, make you listen to your body and make you listen to your mind. Cause I think at least for like my fast paced women friends, we don't listen to anyone or anything or even ourselves or like nothing. And it's just causing like more and more burnout or overwhelm, or also like, I don't know if you guys, but I get disappointed in myself because I didn't stop and like listen or stop and realize that it's just taking that moment to kind of just get grounded and listen to what all this is saying. Cause sometimes it's screaming at you.
Yeah.
And you're not listening.
Yeah. So that's for me. Yeah. Just knowing that I can see it coming now. I feel like I can see it coming now. When I push and I work hard, is knowing when to just stop and have that reset and actually intentionally like setting that marker.
Yeah. So it's a great, great exercise. So, okay. Besides our morning date, like what are some things we've been doing this week? I picture me in the car the other day. I am a crazy plant lady. Just don't talk about it very much. Before I had Yaya, I was crazy plant. I had like a whole garden. I grew vegetables that we ate. I spent hours out there a day. And then I got pregnant with Yaya and I kind of stopped the gardening. She was a very, very special, special little baby. The child never slept like ever. And so the first 2 years were agonizing. So I got a lot of work done. I didn't sleep because she didn't sleep, but I've always been a plant lady. So yes, I feel the plants. I spent all morning taking care of the plants. And
well, she just bought 6 new plants.
Well, so yes, we love the outdoor. And my dad built all this that you see. This is, used to be a little a lanai and the wood was rotting. And I left my dad my debit card. And I went, remember when I talked about that 21 day of traveling to meet a goal for one of the businesses, and I was on the road and I was speaking and I gave him my debit card. And I came back to this giant pergola that literally I could probably rent out for quinceañeras.
I swear, I call it a pavilion.
It's a pavilion. But the playhouse back there in the back, so I have my hanging bed that you guys can see he built. That's right behind us. It swings. And then he built the kids a playhouse. The playhouse is like further behind us. And then we have the basketball court over there, right over there. Yeah, it's over there. Yeah, can't see it. But what were we talking about? Oh, the thing I talked about yesterday.
A lot of lives.
Yeah, no, actually, you know, getting an actual loan for the first time in 15 years was like my milestone of the week. And I could have done it sooner. Right. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, you know, this week was a milestone for me. It may sound small and I could have gotten a loan before and I could have even used cash to buy the car. But it was like, no, I want the best interest rate. I want the best terms. I want to buy the car I want. And why was it so like rewarding? Because I see friends buying cars like every other year. And I'm just looking at Chris like, man, I want to do that. And then I'm like, yeah, no, I don't. And it was a big milestone from filing bankruptcy to like doing it the right way. And I take pride. And I told Chris, I'm like, I hope you weren't mad at me for that live when I said I didn't want his help. I wouldn't even put my name on this house that we live in. I couldn't put my name on it. And it was like a sense of just completing that milestone to the next, like next phase.
Yeah. No, and I'm not upset or anything. I think I've heard that phrase a number of times over the course of our marriage.
What, that I want to do it by myself?
Yeah, or that I don't want my name on anything. I'm surprised that she got married to me because that was putting your name on a piece of paper.
Yeah, it was. But I didn't take credit to do that or a loan.
Just took a risk.
Yeah. So my car is completely self-driving.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I did it because I have to go over to Miami a couple times. I want to go up to our house more in Georgia and I hate driving, but also my hands can't take more than about an hour or two of driving.
So here's the thing, and hopefully you can relate. I think you can relate, is that we were in a very big struggle against the type of car and the type of life that we wanted to experience through driving. And yeah. So we had two different sides. One was the simple luxury, and the other one was more of the adventurous spirit, the outgoing, outdoorsy. I'm talking paddle boards, dogs in the trunk, things like that. And so we were looking at...
Yeah, so we were looking at like a truck version so I could put the dog in the back. The dog's got to fit in my car. I have a 150-pound dog. I'm like, where is the dog going to go?
Imagine Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, she looks just like Scooby-Doo. And I'm like, so I was looking at like Jeep Gladiator trucks. And then I was looking at cars and I was looking at SUVs. And this has been a long time. But we're like, it's got to fit our like lifestyle. What are we looking for? And there is room in the trunk for the car because it's got a giant trunk in the back. She can fit. We had to make sure like Coco could fit in the back of the car. So, and actually the car has a feature for dogs, which I thought was really interesting. And that was another selling point as well.
Austin,
our 17-year-old said, Mom, it has a feature for dogs for the car. And I was like, really? Okay.
He actually knew more about the car than we did.
Yeah.
So he's teaching us.
But it's not about the car at all. And Amy, I'm with you on that one. I was going to go like totally extreme off the wall, like lavish. But then like, I like simple fancy, like, what do we call it? Simple luxury. And I have children, Yaya 7, and she got in that new car yesterday. And I was like, oh my God, don't touch anything. Wash your hands. Take off your shoes.
White seats.
White seats. I was like, what was I thinking? So next time I get a car, Amy, I'll probably go more luxurious, but with a 7-year-old and 2 dogs, I was kind of like, we'll go middle luxury. We'll just meet me in the middle. So, but it was more about the milestone of what's rolling out like in the next, let's see, in the next 3 weeks. No, let's just say month. It's been incredible. Like if you sit back and it's the gap in the gain, I was just talking to a Naylor from LCR Media, lawn care guy, lawn care coach, landscaping guy, amazing. He's known as the lawn care rookie is his kind of tagline. And I love that. But we were just talking about the gap in the gain. Like you, and like put your whole business aside, like gap in the gain, just like looking back at like what you've done and what you've been through. I think sometimes we're so hard on ourselves that you just take a minute and say like, man, I've come a long way. I'm seeing that this week with getting ready to pay off the software. I have one more payment for the new software. Just one more. I'm done. It's next week. And then, you know, closing on that building on the 18th. Hopefully, keep me in your thoughts. Think of me. Good vibes. Hopefully, everything goes well. Is you're just looking back at, man, and the faster you go, the more momentum you build. It's insane. And then the more opportunities open up. Like, getting ready to collaborate with Chris Rencio. If you guys don't know who that is, he's the author of Playbooks and the owner of Trainwool. We're going to work together and make something. We want to make something incredible for the cleaning industry. So that's coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, just hearing you guys, how you guys hold the conversation together and talk through things. I can only imagine incredible.
I had dinner with him a few months ago at an event. He was sitting next to me, and I think the group set us next to each other on purpose.
Just to start some conflict.
Just to start. And I'm like, I told Chris, and we exchanged cell phone numbers, and then we started talking, and I'm like, I'm surprised he would talk to me because I was kind of rude to him. I wasn't rude. I was just very passionate about the cleaning industry, about what works and what doesn't work. And I don't agree. It's like, I texted Chris. I'm like sitting here, I have an argument, not an argument, but a very passionate conversation with the owner of Trainwheel, Chris Rencio, over dinner. But he liked that. And so he's like, I want to collaborate with you some more because I think we could make something really incredible. So like that's happening. One of the best things that I learned to keep up leveling me is to expose myself to scary things on purpose because it's a controlled environment. That way you can like breathe through it. You can talk yourself through it. And then when you're faced with fear that you can't control, you've kind of figured out how to get like, you know how to get through it now. It's not as bad as like peeling off the side of a building or eating like the whole fire breathing thing. That I have to say that was hard because I did that in the SAS boardroom. And it really helps you up level like the next thing and the next thing and the next thing to learn how to manage that fear and that doubt when you're faced with it without when you're not in that controllable environment.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get more of that myself as well. Little bits of it was from rock climbing, but more of that intentional fear.
Oh, well, I can help.
Well, I mean, I get that every single day from you, so don't worry, but a different kind of fear.
What are we doing with our kids?
Yeah.
School's out, guys. School is out. And that means my summer is going to go to like hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. Which is usually the month where we pick up and leave and travel.
Yeah. So we're soon in a couple of weeks. So all of our kids are home/virtual. So they're all done. And so I don't know about you guys, but for us, our entire schedule during the summer changes. Like we work so hard to get like our schedule organized and time block, and then school lets out and they don't even go to public school, guys, but school stops and you're like, crap, it's a disaster. But then it goes to a disaster, but it's good. It's a reset. So we typically hit the road with our kids. We put them in a car and we just drive. We ask Austin, we've done this with him since he was little. Like, hey, where do you want to go? We've taken him to New York, DC.
One time he said, I want to go to the Grand Canyon.
We went to the Grand Canyon. Last year we went to the Redwoods, which was a treat for me because we got to stop at Napa on the way and I got to drink wine. That was great. But you know, for us, one thing I want to like encourage everybody, for us, the trip wasn't about where we went. The trip was more about being in the car with our kids. The trip was about, you know, the kids being together in the car with themselves, like their brothers and sisters. Yes, the Redwoods are life-changing. I mean, it awed my 16-year-old, the Redwoods. He was just in awe.
Especially when you have the sunlight coming through.
Yeah. He was just like, Mom, I seen it on TikTok, but there was nothing, like, he was in awe. And so, you know, I think just the act of a road trip, whether you have children or it's just your husband and your wife, there's something therapeutic about a road trip and just getting in the car and not having a plan. Everyone thinks I'm so organized. Over the years, I've realized I am organized, but I'm so simple. And just doing that over the summer creates so many memories. As a kid, I got to travel all over the world. And I wanted to give my kids that privilege of seeing like the Grand Canyon or the Hoover Dam. And I didn't want to make it fluffy for them either. Like when I was a kid, we had to rough it. We didn't have power or running water. Well, we kind of ran, like it ran from an RV with a battery, like, but you only had so much water. You only had power certain times of the day or night. And so I wanted our kids to experience like it in the way I did. So we didn't do it last year because of the weather, but we typically also camp in a tent.
And Yaya did mention yesterday that she wants to camp in a tent.
Oh, God.
Outside. So there we go.
It's fun for them, but like, it's so much work. It's so much work. And then when it rains, everything is wet. Everything. For days. No. Oh, Tammy, didn't I have a camper at one point? Well, Tammy, I grew up in an RV and I haven't owned one as an adult. Because when you grow up in an RV, your dream is to run away and join a town and live in a house. And I find it interesting because people who live in a town in a house, their dream is to retire and sell their house and get an RV. My dream went is the opposite of like most people. So no, I didn't have RV as a, you know, with the kids. I've had it in my past growing up and then being on the road. And Chris spent a lot of time in an RV on tour.
Yeah. Glamping. That's where we're at right now. Simple luxuries.
Glamping. It's still in a tent though. So yeah. And Austin just brought it up. He goes, we didn't do it last year. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, we didn't. The weather was bad. So I'm like, darn, let's just stay here in the hotel.
So, yeah. So I wanted to like, at least say with the traveling and getting away with the kids and the driving and whatnot, the first couple years that we did that, it was like you said, hell in a handbasket. It was chaos because you have these kids and you're like, oh my God, just stop. When you're driving, and it's just a lot of back and forth. But I think over the years, what I've learned from it or what I've seen or experienced now looking back is you learn more about your kids and you learn how to live better with them in a way that doesn't have to be chaotic every single day. So I think that you're able to kind of connect and create space for them when you don't have space to begin with.
Yeah, you're stuck in a car or like camping or like there's nothing to do at the campground. I had Erica Turner on my podcast a while back and she told a story about the road trip she took with her husband. And I, you know, because she wanted to drive across country and she said, it wasn't necessarily like the destination that was life-changing. It was all that time in the car with her husband. It changed their marriage. The conversations they had, how close it brought them, how much they realized like that they got along or didn't get along on certain things like food or where to eat. But I think it's a great change. The other thing, I think it's very low cost. Like and that's why we would do it with our kids. I don't know about you, but my kids are not flying first class. When we went to Mexico last year, me and Chris sat in first class and I bought the very next row behind us in coach and the kids sat there.
Yeah.
And Austin goes, really, Mom? Really? You're going to put us in coach and you're in first class? I said, really, Austin? When you get a job, you can sit up here with me. And when you buy your own plane ticket. But the whole point of the summer part is like to rough it. It's simple, simple luxuries, simple pleasures that they're not going to get really in a nice hotel or flying to the Redwoods. Although we did fly a little bit, but we drove halfway there and then we drove to Dallas because we're in Florida. So like that's really far.
By the way, side note is taking a train. Was it Amway or Greyhound or train, whatever it was.
Oh my God.
Through COVID where you had to wear masks.
Oh, so one year, the year Austin wanted to see the Grand Canyon, we left Yaya at my mom's. And then so in Dallas, after the pro trip, we got on Amtrak and took a train. And it was probably one of the worst experiences. No, let's just say one of the most memorable because it took forever because there was weather, there were issues. It wasn't necessarily Amtrak's fault.
Talking about what was it like 18 hours or
even
longer?
It's 3 days.
3 days. Yeah, yeah.
To get from Dallas to the Grand Canyon.
And there weren't beds. There weren't beds by any means.
No, we didn't have beds. Luckily, they had wine on the train. So Libby got through it. I got through it with wine on Amtrak.
And lunches and dinners consisted of microwave pizzas.
Microwave food. So we got stuck on there. It was weather and then the tracks flooded in certain areas. So like it was what could go wrong went wrong. 18 hour train ride. It turned into 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I just think just looking back is that I learned a lot about my kids doing this. You know, you're stuck in close confined quarters. And you can either take it one of two ways. Is one is you play the overbearing parent and you just zone out and you're like, shut up. Or you start to kind of like figure it out and say, how can I make this work? Because it's not changing. How can I make it work? Oh, and I think that's really, really helped. And for me personally, I used to be on Austin like a lot. And so I think over the years is that I learned and started to try to pay attention to it. And I loosened up and I think he's a better person for that because I wasn't this overbearing parent.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's like, what are you guys planning for the summer? You know, we always leave for like 8 weeks and we still work, still like to stay. Sometimes we work and sometimes we don't. Like for organize it, you know, at first I wouldn't work because it was kind of a test. How long can they go without needing me for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks? And then every year it was like I was gone 4 weeks this time. And the one thing I have to say that I learned with taking our kids on these summer trips is that when you come back home, when you come back to your business, come back a different way, you know, come back a different way. It took me every year I would add another week that I would stay out of the business so I could still work on the road, like still work when we were camping with Austin, But then I would say, okay, for a week, I'm going to be completely off. Okay, for 2 weeks, the next year, I'm gone. For 3 weeks, I'm completely gone. But when you come back different. That's how you keep compounding it over time. Come back different to your house. Like realize that, hey, I don't need all these things. We just got by 8 weeks with a carry-on. Like, hey, I don't need to jump back in and take care of sales. They got it while I was gone. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today. What can I help work on that they didn't have while I was gone? And that's kind of how I've always done everything in the business so that I can slowly start to hand off certain things. So I always say, when you leave, even if it's for a week, come back different. Analyze or assess what worked and what broke. And don't go back in and jump and help. Go work on what broke. And then the next time you leave, they have that process, that thing ready, and that won't break because something else will. And it compounds over time so that one, we're empowering our team, even our kids, to live differently and think differently and be more independent and more proactive. Always, everything what I do is intention, like come back different. No matter if you leave for a 3-day conference, take your kids on a vacation, or you leave for 8 weeks in the summer, come back different.
And I see there was being able to step away and one is come back different, but two is to have this self-running company, the self-running team. But Libby, I think you said it before, and it's something that I've started to experience little by little. And now for the first year, being able to take an entire month in Mexico without any involvement with, let's say, the operations of WootRecruit, has been incredible because there is a self-running departments of people who can really step up and make their own executive decisions when we kind of delegate that or hand it off. But for me, it was great.
We had intention to work while we were in Mexico, but we got sick. Like Chris was so sick, he couldn't run payroll. And we noticed, we're like, oh crap, he's the only one who knows how to run payroll.
That was the broken thing.
And WooRecruit, that was the broken thing. And so now he's created training and a video and he, you know, so I come from show business, guys, and this is something I want everyone to think about in your business. And it's not really like cross training or like everybody can do it. I want you to think about this. I grew up in show business, and when I went to work for Ringling, it was really, really intriguing. You're talking multi-billion dollar company, the largest entertainment company in the world at one time. And I watched how they did things. I watched how like the processes they had, the systems. Everyone though had an understudy. Everyone had an understudy. I even had an understudy. And I looked at Chris one day when something wasn't working right. And like, I'm like, we need understudies. Yeah. Like, it's not that they need to be doing it too. It's just that they need to know how to do it, have the training to do it, and shadow every once in a while so that they're comfortable doing it. And I was like, oh my God, everyone needs an understudy. I do. What if I died in a car accident today? That's like one of my biggest fears right now because I have so many things like dependent on, am I the bottleneck? Am I the wall? What if like a great example is Chris got sick in Mexico. I didn't even know how to run payroll for WooRecruit. I'm like, I had to put a company statement in the company like, guys, I'm not sure anyone's going to get paid tomorrow because Chris is sick. And we just realized he's the only one that knows how to do it. Now, I'd already faced this challenge and organize it. And we have like a process and organize it that it can run. I can run it. My manager can run it. The head of HR and hiring runs it. So we have that. We figured that out because I faced that challenge years ago. But with every new company or every new phase of growth, you're always going to run into that. And so I'm like, we need understudies. And then, so that's a show business term. And I'm like, how do we create understudies? And so we started to really focus on that. And, but you know, that was the broken thing was pay. Chris got it. He got it done. Like he drug himself out of bed to get it done and he did it.
Yeah. Like 5 cough drops, some pretty heavy medicine.
Yeah.
And I got it done. Then I passed out.
Could have been wrong, but nobody complained. So it got done.
But the takeaway there with the hashtag goals that Amy mentioned was, and this is something that I started to learn, was the goals can start now. And just like those micro steps, Libby, and you're the one that taught me this, Libby, was, you know, the month-long trips, the month-long vacations start with day one, which is going and finding a spot locally to have a staycation and tune out and just let it burn for a day and then dump a bucket of water on the fires and figure it out.
Yeah. So I haven't really shared that. We don't really share this, but on Mondays we work, but we don't work. It's something I used to do all the time and I got away from it. Have you ever like thought back and like, hey, wait, we used to do this and it worked really well, but we don't do it anymore. It's like that natural drift that happens in life and business. And I'm all into right now, like going back to those good old things that used to work. And I used to do it all the time. And I got so much more work done and clarity done. But it was like, I was working, but I was working on my work, like my, what I need to do in the business. And so on Mondays, we do staycations. There's this great app called resortpass.com. I should be a spokesperson. And you can go and buy a day pass at a hotel, at a pool, at a resort. Wait,
hold on. Let me get a referral link set up real quick.
And we go and we work. And so we tell like, hey, I'm not available on Mondays. My calendar's blocked out. You know, if you need something, I'm not going to be available. If it's an emergency, just text me on my phone to my managers, right? They know how to get a hold of me. But in general, I'm not available because I'm working outside, but I'm working on the business. I'm working on the important things I need to be doing on Mondays. And they're totally like shut down. And I picked Mondays because Mondays felt like for my office, for WooRecruit, for Organize It, for Sell Convert Clean, it's the busiest days for them. They have a lot of like tidying up to do, follow-ups to do, like weekend leads to catch up from. And they didn't have time for a meeting anyways from me. They needed to do their job, like do the daily tasks of the jobs. I was like, oh, Mondays are actually a great day. So Mondays, and so you step away one day at a time because you don't know what's broken if you're always in it.
I want to dig in here real quick. Days for most business owners would say, oh my goodness, I can't step away on a Monday. Yeah. Things would just fall apart. Like just thinking through that, like how would you approach that? Or is it a good thing to be able to step away on a Monday and say, you guys are going to grow up today and be adults and take care of Monday yourself?
Well, I would say it another way, Chris. I trust you guys got this, like empower them to say, you got this. I'm going to go work on that process that we need, that we've been talking about. I'm going to work on that thing that we need built today. Because if you have a salesperson and if you have an office manager, they don't need you. They don't need you. I'm just like, if you have one or two people in the office, they can handle it. If you have anyone in the office, they could probably handle it. And if they can't, then why do you have them? Like, it's a great question to ask yourself. I'll be honest, like whether it's like lawn care, house cleaning, roofing, gutters, it's not open heart surgery. Like they call, they want a price. They have a complaint, write it down. Like somebody quit. Okay, thanks. Like it's the same cycle of everything over and over and over. And I always tell my team, my sister hired her first employee and she private messaged me. She goes, I don't know how you do this, Libby. She goes, it's driving me crazy. Like, why can't she just do it like me? And I'm like, Jennifer, calm down. Like, she goes, how do you do this? How do you let go? She's like, I'm a control freak and only have one person. So I was like, and I explained her just like some of the steps, but yeah. So, you know, letting go like little by little. And when I first started, I would just take a half a day. Like just leave the office and leave your house for a half a day. Okay. It didn't burn down. The kids survived. Like we even do this with the kids, like Austin, you're going to watch your sister for 4 hours. As long as the house doesn't get burned down. Good. Cause here's the reality. We can't get nothing done. If you don't do this, you can't get anything done.
That's how we started with Yaya. And the only reason we were able to start doing date mornings was because of that priming little by little.
Yeah. And you can't get anything done. Start doing it every Monday, right? I would say a Monday a month. So this is like my Monday of the month. I'm not available, or the half a day of the month. And then you can do it twice a month. And then you can do it like 3 times. And then you can do it every Monday. But start micro moves, because you're not going to see what works. You're not going to see what's broken if you don't like hand it over.
Yeah. And so what I found, because I kept the reins too tight on tech when we first started to really kind of expand out with the company is with the tech department. My reins were too tight because I felt like I was the only person that could do it. And then I had to get past that. And I finally started to loosen up a little bit. And then it was taking the day off or taking a half a day off or whatever. And I started to learn quick, like with Miguel, I had to ask him permission because I was like, why isn't it getting done? But I never really gave him the express authority. And so I learned that I had to start asking him permission to say, I have to step away for an entire day. Can I go ahead and hand you the reins to go ahead and take care of every single request that comes in so that there's nothing left over at the end of the day? And then waiting for that yes. And that was the permission that I needed to, one, is clear my mind. And then two is to see how it feels and flows. But man, has he stepped up.
But you can't see that in your people unless you empower them to say, hey, I need you to own this for half a day. I need to go and work on some really important things. Like, I need you to own this for all day Monday. And if you don't want to do Mondays, right, pick whatever day you want. Like, and organize it. Friday is like our slowest day. I think it's Thursday. Thursday or Friday is like our slowest day. As far as the office and calls and leads and craziness, I think it's Thursday. So pick your day and just start with it. Hey, you got this, right? Hey, Monica, I know you can handle this. I'm going to step away because you can't get nothing done. And so we've done it with the kids too, because it's like, Austin, you're going to watch your sister for 2 hours. We're going to go to dinner without you. Okay, now 4 hours. They survived. The dogs were still alive. And we came back and Yaya was watching him.
Yeah. No, they were playing games together.
They were playing games together.
Great. It was beautiful. And actually, they actually have a better connection because we left.
Yes.
The two phrases that it's almost funny now when I say it because everybody's like, oh, he's going to say it. Two phrases that I say now in every single day you'll catch me saying it is, first one is, do what you think is right. Second one is, I trust you. I don't say anything else and I walk away.
We say that to the employees. Do what you think is right. Because we have a code of ethics in Recruit and all the companies and organize it. Like, every decision has to be in best interest of the customer, what's right for the business, right? Do what you think is right. They know, like, and we say that to our kids, to Yaya, to the employees, even to customers. I'm like, you got to do what you think is right.
And my God, does it puts on a different hat. Like, as soon as they hear those two phrases, do what you think is right, I trust you, all of a sudden they're like, oh, game on.
Yeah. I mean, Chris got our 17-year-old to do his own dishes. Like, you know, I'm like, wow. Because Chris empowered him. Like, he gets up and cooks his own breakfast now. Then the issue was he wouldn't wash his dishes. So now he's like washing his dishes.
Well, I'm talking about, like, he'll go and make a whole thing of eggs and he used to leave the pan out. And then it would get all crusty. And then he'd go the next, like, second half of the day and try to make more. And he's like,
ugh. And then he didn't want to wash the pan. Yeah. And so we, like, empowered him to, hey, do what you think is right.
There's something easier on the other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like, as soon as he's done, just running underwater, flies right off. He sets it to dry. It's the little things.
Yeah, he's practicing carnivore right now, guys. I have to say, I am so proud of him. For a 17-year-old to cut out sugar and carbs, all cereal, like milk. Gummy bears, ice cream. Like, he is.
That was his diet.
I'm super proud of him. I told him, I said, Austin, you have more self-control than most adults I know. Like, he's stuck to it. And I think he's on week two. Yeah. And then he's like, when am I going to feel good? Yeah. So we have a few questions, but you're also going to see people's actual real morals, values come through. Do what you think is right is like one of those things where, what do they think is right? Right. You're going to see that come through. Food Recruit is 100% virtual. CellConvert Clean is 100% virtual. Organize It is hybrid. We have an office. Our office is open 2 days a week for weekly supply check-ins and meetings. Organize It is hybrid. It's not 100% virtual. I love remote, not going to lie. I love it. It's changed our life and it has its pros and cons. I mean, I love remote. I hired two new amazing people last week and off referrals. We have so many remote employees now that we just tell our own internal team that we're hiring and they give us some great candidates.
Even with the do what you think is right. That even comes in on day three.
On day three, the new person.
And they're flying. They're doing everything.
I didn't intend to hire this new person so fast. So I wasn't really ready. We thought we were going to have to do a few rounds of interviews or it'd take a couple weeks, but she was a rock star. So I hired her like the next day and she had a glowing referral. She came from Rigo, one of our amazing account managers at Recruit. And he's like, she fits our values. She's a rock star. She's this, she's that. And so I went ahead and hired her and I was like, I'm just going to warn you right now. I don't have anything ready because I didn't think I was going to hire someone this fast. So your onboarding is going to look kind of messy. And then, like, Chris used it on day three because we didn't have like anything like, I don't know what we didn't have. And we're like, just do whatever you think is right. So yeah, a VA would be amazing. It could be a local, remote, hybrid. So organize it. It has hybrid remote employees. Like they go to the office a couple days a week and they work from home a couple days a week. And then they have fully remote employees. Like one is in Venezuela and the other one's in Oklahoma. The great thing is you can do whatever you want. You can full remote, offshore, nearshore. We have both offshore and nearshore. Offshore means overseas. Nearshore is like Central and South America, or
the land is still connected.
The land is connected, right? You could go to Canada, I guess. And that would be a great option. I wouldn't hire part-time, even if you don't need full-time. I would not. Like, that's my number one suggestion with remote or anything. I would hire full-time.
Project-based work is very big in software. I could never get the output of results that we needed, or the buy-in or the culture. And I ended up losing a lot of good people because of that fact alone.
Yeah, but if you do offshore or nearshore, you could probably afford full-time and have that person help you get things done. Help you do the things you're supposed to be doing. Don't discredit their capabilities, because some of the people we have that come in, like Eliani, I had her teach a class. I'll just be completely honest. Eliani's in charge of our customer success. Phenomenal. Tons of experience. She has her own Airbnb. She rents out. So she's like, success. She demands, like,
we experienced her hospitality. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing.
And so she has like high expectation for customer success, because she knows what it is to give it and receive it as it is. She's a super host for Airbnb, but she also is WooRecruit's customer success manager. And it was funny. We did some training and I honestly didn't want to teach the whole thing. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like we just came from CBF Live. And I was tired. And I said, Eliani, hey, do you want to teach for like an hour or two? It really helped me out. Like, it would break it up so it wouldn't just be me. Oh my God. She blew me away. She did better than I did.
No, she took up a full 2 hours.
2 hours.
But it was on point.
She had us clapping and laughing and standing up and participating and like
tequila.
Like, and so what I have to say is, this doesn't matter if you're hiring people that are local in your town or remote. Don't discredit the capability that one of your employees has. And it's probably because the fact that you didn't ask them to do it.
But one thing is just to make sure, and I just ask this favor, is to make sure that whatever it is that you bring them on to, even if they have a skill set or they're good at it, just make sure that whatever it is aligns with their fire, what they're good at and what they actually want to do. I know this sounds simple because you have to do certain stuff, but I lost some good people because I forced them to do things that weren't in their wheelhouse.
Yes.
But I've moved people over. I fired somebody and then rehired them under different tenses, under a different skill set that align with their fire. I mean, I couldn't imagine not having them.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
I've never, like, he owns this, like, he works in Sell Convert Clean, and he worked in WooRecruit, not the strongest employee, greatest guy in the world. Like, how many of us have had a great employee? Like, no, hold on. A super nice employee, super sweet. Man, you just like them so much, but they kind of suck at their job.
Like, you got to.
And you're just like, oh, but we like him. Like, oh, but he's so nice. And like, and you know, I did have to let him go, but like we did it ethically and morally, and we brought him back, and oh my God, is he like, he's not even the same person. I don't even know who this guy is. Like, he's working at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, go to sleep, man. Like, he's on the weekends.
He's Facebook, like, messaging customers to get feedback.
Yeah. He's Facebook messaging customers because he wants feedback. I'm like, but when he was in a role that didn't like light him up, it wasn't the role for him. So it's a great point, Chris. Like, if you want to take that day or that week off, but you're the people that are running that, if what they're doing doesn't light them up, it doesn't make them excited. They don't love it. It may not be the role for them. And that's why you always have to cover. That's why you're always cleaning up a mess. Or that's like why you're always having to answer the same question over and over and over, or help them, or get on the phone, or like, you know. And there's some things that I hate doing. Like, I hate sales. I hate talking on the phone. I'd rather go clean a house than talk on a phone.
And so that's that statement alone, or that fact alone, is the reason why I got fired 7 times from Organize It. But finally got hired. Wouldn't have happened if I wasn't married to the person. But I finally got hired for the 8th position in something that truly aligned with my fire. And I've been running with it ever since.
Yeah, Chris got fired from Organize It from like every position. And I did it, well, I don't know if I even did it kindly.
No.
But I'm like, I just said, sweetie, this isn't for you. Like, I love you. And what fit you the best was actually cleaning. Yeah, but that didn't light him up inside.
No.
And I, you know, I try to put him in his hiring or put him in sales and try to, like, and cleaning fit him the best, but it didn't fill his bucket. So he got fired from Organize It All Together.
Yeah. I think the longest I stayed was window cleaning because I was good at it. And I was out there and I was on my own and generating my own business. I was good at it, but the fire wasn't there. And so you could feel the burden. And then finally it was like, you know what? This is where I should be.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, he came over and we'll recruit. And here's the other thing. If the person kind of has some passion, but doesn't like to do some of the other things, that's okay. So like with Chris, he loved the tech side of WootRecruit. Like he loves the recruiting side. He loves working with the customers in WootRecruit, but didn't love the customers and Organize It, like the B2B versus B2C. But he really wanted to stay tech focused. And I said, if you do this, if you get us here, if you build the ops team, you can have your own team in tech, right? Your own developers, your own tech team, but you have to help me get here. And he did now he has three. And I said, but we have to get here first. And I promise if we get here, then you can go over and play with tech and product. And he did it. And so that's the other thing. If you give them the vision and they're passionate about just even one part of it, even your kids, Austin, he's got the vision. He's helping out. He's passionate about it. And he's now contributing to that long-term vision.
Even if you don't have something to show for it at the beginning, again, I feel proud about this, is that I sold our sales guy originally, who came and like oversaw a call center with 50 other employees under him. I sold him the vision with nothing to show for it to begin with, but I planned the roadmap and I committed to it. And I told him, this is where I'm going to get you. And it's just being able to just say like, we're on it together.
But yeah, the vision, you just have to know how to explain it, to sell it. So to get that Monday off, that afternoon off, that week off, to work on the business, to build the business, sell the vision to your office, your team, so that they support you saying, hey, I'm going to go sit in a lawn chair at Margaritaville. I'm still working, but I'm going to be working on the business. I'm going to be working on the vision to help us get to where we're going. So let's wrap up. We got some stuff to do, but it was our conversation went from like chakra to the summer, to our kids trip. Get in the car and go somewhere, go to a national park. Go on a road trip, take a day, like go somewhere.
Even resetting the environment just locally even.
Yeah, go somewhere. Being outside is amazing, and go somewhere. Get in that car, lock yourself in there with your husband, your spouse, your kids, your friends. Man, it'll change your life. But do it. Don't just sit home and work. All right, guys.
Thank you.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WootRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.